your path the same.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right, because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
No one knows our stories. Behind the glory, there's always a story. But Lord, we thank God that you know all of our stories. Every last one of them, you know, Lord. And Lord, we come this morning in the most humble and sincere way we know how, just to say thank you. You've been mighty good to Mount Olive. We just want to say thank you. You brought us from a mighty long way, Lord. We just want to say thank you. You have healed the sick. You have given us deliverance. You have brought miracles in our lives. We just want to say thank you. Lord, in spite of the hurt and the pain this morning, we can say thank you. For God, you are good God. And you're good all of the time, and all of the time you are good. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you, Lord. Food you put on our table, and the clothes you put on our back, and the shelter you put over our head, and the cars you let us ride around in. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for a measure of good health. We just thank you, Lord. All you've done, all you're doing, in all you're going to do. All we got to say this morning, Lord, we thank you. Now, Lord, thou the potter, I am the clay. Yield and still in thy holy hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church said amen. It's just good for us to be here. Had it not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? To Minister Lavallee and the officers and members of this great church, we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to lift up a thought this morning from the book of Acts, the action of the Holy Spirit working in and through the apostles. The main two characters in the book of Acts, or three characters, is the Holy Ghost first, Paul and Peter. The 16th chapter, very familiar passage of scripture, beginning at verse 25, Acts 16. Luke is believed to be the writer of our text. Acts 16, beginning at verse 25. The book of Acts will give you the history of the church. If you want to know how the church got started, you want to know what the church ought to be doing, look in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and chapter 2 in particular. Reading from the Amplified Bible, and the word of the Lord said, "But about midnight, as Paul and Silas was praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the very foundation of the prison was shaken, and at once all the doors were opened, and everyone's shackles or chains were unfastened. When the jailer started out of his sleep, saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed, amen, that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.'" May God bless the reader and hearer of his divine word. Shake hands with your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I need a spiritual breakthrough." Amen. I need a spiritual breakthrough. Everybody, in some sense of the word, is looking for a spiritual breakthrough. Some are looking for a financial breakthrough, healing breakthrough, forgiveness breakthrough. And God knows the economy needs an economical breakthrough. But normally we associate the spiritual breakthrough with being in church, being in the sanctuary, watching the televangelists telling us that we can have a spiritual breakthrough by using his or her methods. But we don't associate a spiritual breakthrough being in a jail, nor being at midnight. Am I right about it? Normally, we are asleep or getting ready to go to sleep at midnight. You might have been wanting a spiritual breakthrough early in the evening, but right now you want a little sleep. But the place, what I want you to understand is that the place of worship or the place of your breakthrough is not important, nor the time. Because you can worship God anywhere at any time.
whether you in the sanctuary or on a stump, whether you at the altar or in an office, whether you in a kitchen or in a cave, whether you in a hospital or in a hotel or in a palace or in a prison, in a field or in a forest, and even on an airplane, in a submarine, and even in the belly of a whale, you can worship God and get your breakthrough. Jonah got healed from worshiping God in the belly of a whale. Abraham worshiped God up on a mountain and got his breakthrough. Moses was out in the Timor, place of nowhere, and there God told him to take his shoes off. From a burning bush, he got his spiritual breakthrough. Job got his in the pot of ash, scraping the sores all over his body. It does not matter about the place. What matters is who you worship and why you worship. The text him. Has to do with Paul and Silas. They have had intentions of going to Asia Minor and to visit the various churches that he had already established. But the Holy Ghost would not allow them to go there. And Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia calling him to come over here and see about us. So there has to be a connection between his vision and his visit. And now, having gone to Philippi, immediately after he come into the city, there he found himself at the riverfront with Linda and her household. There he preached the gospel and the whole household was saved. But while he's in Philippi, there's a young girl, slave, that made money for her agents by being a fortune teller. And she followed Paul and Silas all through the streets and cried out, "These men are from the Most High God, and they tell us the way of salvation." Now, she had a good message, but it came out of a bad mouth. She had the right message, but it came from the wrong person. And we see right there, she had a demonic spirit within her, and we see right there that Satan knows the power of God. He knows the power of God. And Paul became vexed because of her continually coming behind him and crying out, "These men are from the Most High God, and they tell the way of salvation." And Paul cried out and commanded the spirit to come out of her. Immediately, spirit came out. But it made her agents mad because their prophets now was gone. And that's important because it reminds us, church, that when you get delivered, when God sets you free, everybody is not going to be happy. Whether you realize it or not, there are people that don't want you saved. There are people that don't want you delivered. There are people that don't want you to receive your miracle. There are people that do not want you to be healed. But you just go on and trust God anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Yeah. Paul now, Silas, have been brought before the magistrates. He has ordered them to be beaten with rods. Beaten unmercifully, commanded them to the jailer, and told them to watch over them carefully. And here they are lying on a cold, probably concrete floor. Sores, laceration on their back, cuts. The whip had pulled skin from their back, and the flies and nets are no doubt flying in and out. Here they are in chains and shackles and bonded their feet on stocks. But at midnight, there's something strange about midnight. At midnight, I heard Wilson Pickett say, I'm going to wait till the midnight hour. Don't look at me funny. He said, that's when my love come tumbling down. See, some folks' love don't happen until the midnight hour. Huh? Do I have any witness here this morning? I heard Gladys Knight in her despair and her hurt of her lover saying, I'm going to take the midnight train to Georgia. Well, I'm not going to take the A.M. train, but the midnight. I'm getting out of this right now. Strange about midnight. It's not night. It's not day. It's just midnight. It's in the middle of night and day. It's in the middle of the queen of night, the moon, getting ready to kiss the king of day, the sun, good morning. It's just midnight. And here they are lying here with lacerated backs and bloody and broken, and they're lying here. And the Bible says that at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises to God. Now, my brothers and my sisters, whatever you do, you ought to pray first. Whatever you do, before devotion, you ought to pray first. Before preaching a sermon, I know I have to pray first. But before you make a decision in life, you ought to pray first. That's why the old folks, you say, I got to sleep on it. Took Mama shopping yesterday. After we come back from the funeral, the price of what she wanted to buy was a little more than she thought she ought to pay. And she said, son, I think I need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
Coming up as a kid, when I asked for something, she would say, I think I need to sleep on that. And really what she was saying is that I need to ponder over this. I need to pray over this. I need to seek God's advice before I do anything right now. And can I say this to you? You keep yourself out of a lot of debt, a lot of trouble, a lot of misery if you pray first before you do whatever you're trying to do. Well, how can Paul and Silas in the misery in their midnight crisis sing and pray to God, pray and sing to God at midnight? Well, they're standing in the firm belief of their faith. They just believe that God will work it out. And I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we sang that song that he'll work it out. You got to believe that he will work it out. You got to believe the song that you sing. They sung, they prayed, and they sung praises unto God. And the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. One transliteration says that the prisoners were listening to them. Here we find the impact of worship and praise. For the Bible said midnight, Paul and Saul, they prayed and they sung praises unto the Lord, and the prisoners heard them. The prisoner were listening to them. They weren't saying shut up and be quiet, but they were listening at the prayer. They were listening at the song that they were singing. And can I tell you something? This says to me that they had an unseen audience. For they are in the inner party of the jail. They are locked up in the jail within another jail. But it didn't say the prisoners were there with them, but the prisoners were listening to them. And so they have here an unseen audience. And you have an unseen audience. Somebody is looking and listening to your life that you live. Your neighbors across the street, an unseen audience. If you're working on a job, the person working next to you, an unseen audience. The person living, working in the next office above you or behind you or on the side of you, an unseen audience. And there are people in life that are taking a cue for their life from the life you are living.
Like that songwriter says, somebody's watching you.
Yeah.
And they're not watching you just to be watching you. But at midnight, they prayed and they sung praises unto the Lord. My brother and sister, one writer says that no matter how terrible life may seem, God can break in and make a difference. If you let God break in and break up some mess and some stuff in you, you can have your spiritual breakthrough through all that you are going through.
Amen.
Your circumstances can't keep you from having a spiritual breakthrough. Paul and Silas has a spiritual breakthrough even though they have been beaten, they're battered, and they're bruised, but yet at midnight they could pray and sing praises unto the Lord. What do you do when you experience your midnight crisis? What do you do when you experience your midnight crisis? And if you have not experienced one, you will. Just keep living. Just keep going to bed and getting up in the morning. And sooner or later, the midnight crisis will knock on your door. Suddenly, the text says, suddenly, while they're praying, while they're singing praises, while they are worshiping God, suddenly, right then and there, God sent an earthquake. Suddenly, God broke in to the jail and rocked the foundation of the jailhouse. And the Bible says that their shackles were loosened, the chains were loosened, and the doors flew open at midnight. After the prayer meeting and the gospel concert, God broke in with an earthquake. And do you know God can break in where you are if you invite him in and break up some stuff to set you free? He has come to set the captives free. He has come to tear down the strongholds. He has come to loosen the shackles. My brothers and my sisters, as another writer shares with us, it's time for the church to break out and let God break in, and together we break down the stronghold that Satan has erected. It was a legend that the gods, the Roman gods, went to sleep at midnight. And we see here, it says that when the jailer started out of his sleep, sleeping on the job, he saw that the prison doors were open and he drew back his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he thought that all the prison was gone. You think about it. Right about now, if those doors downtown in DC-1 would fly open, do you think they'd hang around? Cell doors open up. That big iron door that you try to get in to get in back in there, it open up. And all the jailers asleep. They getting out the house, ain't they? But when worship is going on, it can transform you and cause you to be different than what you would normally be because somebody is worshiping. And so your worship can have an impact on your family. Your worship can have an impact on your children, your grandchildren. Your worship can have an impact on your church.
Amen.
Praying and singing praises at midnight. An earthquake came. God broke in. The jailers, the prisoners, Paul and Silas are experiencing a spiritual breakthrough.
So the jailer comes and trembling, terrified, falls at the feet of Paul and Silas and says, "Sirs, what shall I do to be saved?" Now Paul didn't tell him, say, "Now you just need to be a good man." No, he didn't tell him that. He didn't tell him, "Now you just need to go to Sunday school, go to church." Yeah. No, he didn't tell him, and even though that is quite very important. But he told him that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what salvation is all about. Yeah. It's about believing. Some people live on the theory of John Bunyan, who said that they live in a city of morality. They think that if they just be good, they'll be saved and go to heaven. They don't have to do nothing but just be good. But you can't be good enough. What you got to understand is that Jesus done it all for us at Calvary. For the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, while we were powerless, Christ died for our sin. God demonstrated his love for us by allowing his son to die in our place. All you can do is accept salvation. Believe. Paul said, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. John, Gospel, in the first chapter, verse 12, says that to those that received him, he gave them the right to become the sons of God and also those that believe. So it is about believing in Jesus Christ, that he came and he lived and he died for your sin and my sin, and God raised him from the dead. Jailer had a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, because Paul baptized him and his whole family. I told you, your witness and your testimony can be an impact on your family. Because of him accepting Christ, he led his whole household to accept Christ. And he brought him out, Paul and Silas out, and washed their wounds and took care of them. See, when you have really been born again, you're a changed person. This is the jailer having compassion for the prisoner. Beforehand, he had them locked up. But now that he has, down that they are set free from their shackles, he has brought them to the house and he has washed their womb and even fed them. And then the next morning, the magistrate sent men to say, "Set them free." But Paul said, No. You whipped us publicly. We Roman citizens. See, they wasn't allowed to do that to Roman citizens. Paul said, "We Roman citizens. You did that publicly to us. So we're not going nowhere. You're going to have to come and publicly deliver us." And he did just that. And told them, said, "Now, if you don't mind, please leave the city." But Paul didn't leave the city. Went back to Lydian household and talked to her. And he said, and he encouraged the brothers. So the whole city of Philippi had a spiritual breakthrough, all because of the midnight prayer of Paul and Silas. And it can happen to you, my brothers and my sisters, if you just believe on the Lord. As I come to a close this morning, it doesn't matter what your situation is. Amen. God has the solution. Yeah. It does not matter the hurt. He can heal. Yeah. It doesn't matter the desperation. Yeah. He has the deliverance. Yeah. It doesn't matter the sin. Yeah. He is the sole solution. Yeah. It doesn't matter the hell. Yeah. He is the help. Jesus is waiting for you to say yes and allow him to break in for your spiritual breakthrough. Jesus, Mary, baby boy,
He had a spiritual breakthrough at the time